Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Chris Buchanani. Chris, how you doing this week?
I'm great, Jim. I'm doing very, very well. A tad heartbroken when it comes to one of our portal departures, but I'm sure we're going to get into it right now.
We definitely are. Chris, you know what? This day was a long time in coming. We've been talking about this for quite a while. The team has had upwards of like 97 players on scholarship. Come August, they have to be down to 85, and the portal was going to close end of April. So if there were players who were going to leave via the portal, that had to be done. So the most amazing part to these several departures to me was fans were surprised by it. How could you be surprised? This had to be done, right?
Because most of these people, Jim, God bless them, are far more socially well-adjusted than you and I, and they barely pay attention to this stuff in the off-season. So they see a headline come across their phones, and they're like, what? But fortunately, we're here to be manic obsessives and fill you in on all the details in between the headlines.
That might be the first time I've heard, you know, that manic obsessive as a compliment, okay? But I will accept it, Chris. I will take it. And as I said, we've been talking about this for quite a while, that this day was coming. I think the only surprise is how long it took. It took to until virtually the end of the transfer portal window before the news came out that several players had left. And the biggest surprise, as I said, was the reaction of some of the fans. Some fans, they were actually concerned that several wide receivers were leaving. It had to happen, Chris. That's where you were going to go. That's where they had way too many bodies, not nearly enough quality, but way too much quantity. So, sure. No, this was not a surprise. This is the way it had to happen.
Yeah, and like I said, if you were somebody who was scrutinizing the roster from the end of the season, you could see this coming. I don't fault anyone for being surprised by it. But the other thing is, and I'm sure we'll get into this over the course of the hour here, Jim, of course, there's been attrition from Penn State, just like there has practically every program in college football since the transfer portal was instituted. But James, I think, has done a remarkably good job of keeping the vast bulk of the impact talent in Happy Valley. And so, you know, we haven't seen like these mass transfer portal exodus from Penn State until going back, you know, I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago now, where you were starting to see that transition from the guys that we had brought in during the immediate sanction and post-sanction period, where, you know, you were maybe taking a caliber of player who wouldn't normally get an offer from Penn State. And then things really start to ramp up. James is having a lot of requests, a lot of success on the recruiting trail. The team's having a lot of success on the field. And all of a sudden you have a much higher caliber of recruit that's taken a long look at Penn State. And you have that roster crunch. You saw a bunch of guys realize, hey, I'm about to get passed on the depth chart by underclassmen who are coming in these new recruiting classes. I want to play. I'm going to go elsewhere. And because it was all so new, I think people just started freaking out a little bit because you were seeing everybody leaving. And there, you know, the analogy I heard people using and saw on the message boards was the rats are fleeing the ship. And I was like, guys, let's pump the brakes a little bit and dig down deep and see like who exactly, quote unquote, the rats are. I don't suspect that too many of these players are going to be missed. And that, to me, is the headline of the portal era so far for Penn State. By and large, and, you know, I think there's an exception coming. We'll talk about them. The guys who have left Penn State in terms of what they did after they left and who replaced them on the field, I don't think that they've been missed. So I don't think people are very used to it. Maybe just caught them a little off guard. But, yeah, again, everybody saw it coming, and I don't think – there's much to be too concerned about.
Well, Chris, as you pointed out, you and I are these obsessive types looking at not just what's going on at Penn State, but if you look at the rest of the country, now I sent you a graphic that talked about just the Big Ten and the attrition there. Penn State actually has pretty much the lowest or close to the lowest number of players leaving and players that they bring in through the portal. And there is a relationship between the two. And I want to ask you about this because I think a lot of people don't understand that, you know, this is a zero-sum game. You got to end up at 85, all right? So every
ish,
player
but sure, yeah.
above that is a player you have to reduce and go out the door. And when you have a situation like with COVID still having an effect, they're still the last year of the COVID year players. So yeah. When Penn State, on the one hand, we say, hey, let's be so happy because these defensive tackles who were on their sixth year are choosing to return. Well, the fact is, every one of them that returns for the 6 years, there's got to be an equal and opposite force, which is somebody has to leave for each one you have doing that, right?
Yeah, and to me, that shows lack of foresight from the NCAA, where they make the rule to allow the guys who were anywhere, wherever you were in terms of the pig moving through the snake of your eligibility, if it touched COVID, you had the option to take this extra year. But then they allowed for no flexibility on the scholarship limit. And it ultimately forces coaches into these Sophie's choice situations where maybe I've got an experienced veteran who wants to stick around who could help the team. But then that guy is then also blocking in multiple ways the young talent in the pipeline who's been coming through. So, you know, look, the NCAA mismanaged something around COVID or anything else. That's the definition of dog bites, man. But yeah, it's an unfortunate situation from that perspective.
But James Franklin, in my opinion, has actually managed the whole portal, challenge better than most in the country. So
I agree.
If we look back, we're going to hit that one guy, the one exception that we both think hurts in this latest group that has gone out the door. But let's look at the history first here with James Franklin and the players that have left through the portal. How many, can you name me any players that you could say, boy, that really hurts that he left through the portal?
Perhaps there's an exception that's escaping me because I'm on the spot a little bit, but I don't think so. Nothing comes to mind.
The portal, understand that it has changed a bit just in the couple years that it has existed in the current form where you could transfer without sitting out a season. But with James Franklin has managed it to bring in very specific players for very specific positions to fill holes. And the players going out the door, again, this is what the transfer portal was supposed to be. I'll use Christian Vaiu as I think the best example from a Penn State standpoint, where he got beaten out by Drew Aller in Aller's first year on campus. Now, Christian Vaiu is a year ahead of Drew Aller, and all of a sudden he finds himself being third team behind second team Drew Aller, who's a year behind him and has more years of eligibility. At that right. point, Christian Vaiu, barring injury, is not going to see the field, okay? He's not. That is what the portal was designed for, Chris, for a guy like Christian Vaiu to go find another option and actually get on the field.
Yeah, you obviously will see a lot of player mobility when it comes to the quarterback spot. One place where I might quibble is I don't think that's what the portal is designed for. I think the portal is designed to distract from the fact that college football is still not paying the players, and they were taking so much heat that you're not giving these guys any money, nor are you allowing them to go where they want and play where they want. And so the solution, of course, was to half-ass this approach that actually, in my opinion, has made the sport worse for the fans. But anything to distract from the fact that, like, yeah, we're not sharing the billions that are coming in. Like, oh, well, now they can just go wherever they want as many times as they want. We gave you what you asked for. That's what the portal is all about. And I think the coaches and ADs are rightly sick of it. I think the fans are sick of it. And I think that widespread discontent is one of the many factors that's going to accelerate revenue sharing in college football.
Well, it is. Because I was going to say, hey, the joke's on them, because what it morphed into was about the money. So player movement now is not about the example I gave you with Christian Vaiu. It is about the player saying, hey, which school could offer me more money? That's what it's
I think it is in some cases. I think by and large, and again, I know we keep teasing it. We're going to talk about King Mack, the young defensive back who's on the move. That may be a factor there. With most of the guys who have left Penn State, going back to the good job James Franklin has done keeping the impact talent in the fold, I think most of them truly are moving on because they're looking for more playing time.
Yes, and I find it difficult, if not impossible, to blame players for that. And even, you know, we keep working around the name. Let's say, yes, King Mack is the guy that I think we both regret seeing leave in this last group. But the fact is, he's got several players in front of him. I want to say, hey, King Mack, things are going to be different by the, you know, next season, 2025.
Yeah.
But can you blame the player for saying, you know what, I don't have much chance of getting on the field here this season. I could go somewhere else and get on the field right away. I can't blame him for that as much as I don't like it.
Yeah, I think as long as you go into it clear-eyed, if you have the attitude of this is probably the last football I'm going to play in my life and I want to finish by actually playing football, I'm not going to do it at whatever big Power 5 school I'm at. And so, maybe I'll drop down a level, quote unquote. That's fine. I just get concerned about guys who think they're chasing their NFL opportunity that in reality is never going to come.
But you know what? It's okay. You know, if you want to chase that and it coincides with getting on the field, I say more power to you. Chris, that's going to be it for quarter one, but we're going to pick up this conversation as soon as we get back. We've had such a great response to our F45 Training State College promotion over the last 2 weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. Starting Monday, May 6th, and running through May 21st, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training and a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. He's Chris Buccanani. I am Jim Galante. We are talking about what else, the transfer portal, and how it's affecting Penn State. And we both agree, Chris, this latest mass exodus, if you will, of Penn State players in the portal, it was due. We knew it was coming. If you were paying attention at all, you had to know it was coming. We'll keep talking about King Mack, but is there any player beyond King Mack that you had an issue with leaving? Do you look at the wide receivers that went out the door and say, oh, no, what's going on here?
I do not with any of them, up to and including Keandre Lambert-Smith. I would have, from a talent on the field perspective, as you and I discussed back in January when we were looking at who might stay and who might go, I think, you know, you would rather have a guy with the number of snaps under his belt and some of the big plays that he's made than not in KLS. But it's to me, not a make or break loss, and potentially opens the door to put the onus on a guy who may make more of a contribution. than Keandre would have next season, or this season, I should say. The guy who I do actually hate to see go, I completely understand why he's leaving, but I thought if he could maybe stick around, would have an opportunity, was London Montgomery, the running back. I think you talked about it. I forget if we were on the air or just talking off the air, that James always like slips in little coded messages in his press conferences and his media availabilities. And when he was asked about the running backs, he intentionally heaped praise on Cam Wallace and then was notably restrained when contrasting him with London. So you kind of got the sense then the first team offense comes out on the field in the white uniforms, and there's Cam Wallace in the backfield with Drew Aller. And you're thinking, okay, all right, I'm getting the message here that Wallace has passed up Montgomery in the estimation of the coaches among the young running backs. And so I understand he's looking at it. He's, you know, Penn State's got superstar running backs committed in the classes of the 25 and 26. I'm probably not going to get my shot here. I do think he's got skills. I think he's somebody who can go somewhere else and, you know, to, if not a prestige program, a brand name program, and contribute. So, you know, I hate to see him go, but again, this is just the way it is. When you recruit great players at a position year after year, someone's got to be the odd man out.
And, you know, you and I had talked about this off the air yesterday when we were talking about our topic for today. The running backs who left previously, when we had someone like a Noah Cain who had shown some things and he left, I think we probably would have had the same conversation then. This is a guy who has some skills and will probably go somewhere, a school with name value, and that's exactly what happened. But in the end, did anybody miss Noah Cain when you had Nick Singleton and Catron Allen coming in? And it's the same, I feel the same way about London Montgomery. And again, a little bit of that Pennsylvania and even Northeast Pennsylvania bias on my part.
Sure.
You kind of like those guys and you want them to stick around, but you have to understand the big picture. Now, let's finally put them on the table and talk about King Mack. There's the one that really hurts, doesn't it?
It just hurts because of the potential I think he has. I think that kid is a player, Jim, really. And when you hear the rumors that he's an Alabama target, and again, you know, we record these before they go to air. So if you're listening to us and you're like, what are you talking about? He already went to Alabama, or is he somewhere else? I'm quite confident that whatever uniform King Mack wears next, it's going to be a college football blue blood. I think he is a star. I thought he was going to contribute significantly, even with all the talent in the defensive backfield for Penn State this year, and had just the sky is the limit for him going forward after this year with some of that talent starting to move on. So I just thought every time you saw him on the field last year, he popped. He looked like a top 100 recruit. And, you know, we do a great job coaching defensive backs at Penn State. Terry Smith and Anthony Poindexter are doing incredible. When you look at the history of the DB position, just in terms of kind of developing NFL talent prior to James getting here and what has happened since, it's night and day. And that's no shade on some of the great defensive backs Penn State has had over the years under the Paterno regime. But man, like, I thought he was going to be one of the next big ones. And it makes me very sad that he's moving on.
We could use this.
Never say never, King. Look at that offensive tackle from Alabama, brother. You can always come back.
Well, it would be nice if it happened. It doesn't happen very often where they enter the portal and come back. We've seen a couple exceptions to that rule. But we can use King Mack, though, I think, Chris, as a good segue into the...
Although, to your point, real quick, Lamont Wade did it.
Yes, yes. So it has happened, but it's the exception to the rule. It's not the rule.
Sure.
We know that.
Yep.
So I...
He's gone.
I think we've also learned that as much as you are not supposed to have talked to other schools yet, it's supposed to be independent events. We all know that, and we saw that with Nick Saban when he talked about the cornerback from Toledo who went to the Eagles. He was our top target. We couldn't get him to transfer. He pretty much
Nick,
just said,
buddy, don't worry about Alabama it. There's tamper. No enforcement mechanism. You could admit you broke the rules. There's nobody to punish you. It's fine. It's all good.
Yeah, but it does show you that it does happen. There is that interaction. I suspect Kid Mac knows exactly where he's going already. There's an opportunity there, and he went for it. But that leads to the next topic in talking about these transfer portals. Now, of course, King Mac comes out of Florida, Chris. Mm-hmm. And the question becomes, we've talked about this, what is the recruiting footprint at Penn State? What should it be? Because on the surface, it's always felt like the further away the recruit came from, the less likely that Penn State retains him. And it's probably that way with other schools, but is that the case where you recruit Florida, it's so far away, these players, that allegiance to Penn State just isn't going to be there?
Well, that's certainly the perception. So King Mac is a Fort Lauderdale kid, and when I heard the news that he was in the transfer portal, and again, just to put it in context, it's pretty remarkable that we're, about five-ish years into the portal era, and here we are having a conversation about the first, real gut punch surprise transfer portal entry from Penn State. But, my first reaction was, there goes another Florida kid. Like, why do we even bother? Why do we go to dip down so far? We pull these kids and, culture shock. Climate shock. They're so far away from home. You're pulling them out of the SEC footprint, which means you've got big time programs with a lot of deep pocketed donors who are going to be keeping tabs on the guys they watched when they were right in their backyard. And constantly, like you said, all the tampering is going on 24/7. So of course there are going to be efforts to lure these guys closer to home. And all of that logic makes sense, right? There is for sure conventional wisdom out there that Penn State has done yeoman's work in penetrating down into that talent-rich recruiting hotbed in Florida. Really, really important to have kept Juwan Sider on staff. He's got all kinds of ties down there. He's respected around the country as one of the top recruiting assistant coaches. And so, you look at how do you supplement your roster with talent. Well, you got to go where it is. And so Penn State's done a good job getting a foothold down there. We can get the kids on campus. We just can't keep them here. And I, again, that was my reaction. That was my perception. But I always think, look, we have these things and people say them and we take them as truth, but how often do we go back and we dig into it? And so I thought, well, why don't I dig in and take a little bit of a closer look? So quick plug, you can read my article about it. Is the Sunshine State Fool's Gold for his Florida Fool's Gold for Penn State recruiting on fortheblogy.com. That's fortheblogy.com. Follow them online at fortheblogy.
And I will interrupt very quickly for you, Keystone Sports Network folks. I posted the article. You'll get more detail of what we're having here as a conversation, and Chris did a great job with it. So let's keep going, Chris.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you. I love the guys at For the Bloggy, really one of the best Penn State outlets out there. And I'm not just saying that because between obligatory and writing and here on Keystone Sports, I do all kinds of work with them. It's don't put the cart before the horse. I work with those guys because I think they have integrity and they're smart and they do real quality work that serves the audience of Penn State fans. So I know we're coming up against the break here for a minute, Jim, so I don't want to get too much into it. Other than to say, I thought it was important to interrogate the narrative that Penn State can't keep the Florida kids on campus. And, the closer you looked, the muddier the waters got. So I'll just ask you, was that your perception as well, that we struggled to keep the Florida kids in the fold?
Yes, and I'll go a step further. I just assumed the attrition rate is directly proportional to how many miles away the player was from the Penn State campus.
Yeah, well, I will tell you that I did look at that, and there's some merit to that. The problem is that the devil is in the details. We talk about keeping great players on campus and having guys who had their shot and maybe just couldn't, for whatever reason, couldn't make enough out of it. And those are the ones who are moving on. When you get down to the granular level and you're looking at it player by player by player, it's hard to dispute that distance is probably somewhat of a factor. But again, then you're also looking at guys and saying, he had a family issue at home. That guy was buried behind three or four players on the depth chart. And so you see, no matter where they came from the country, the guys who are playing and the guys who are making an impact, they're staying. And the ones who aren't are more likely to leave. And so there's not as much of a one-to-one relationship between distance and leaving as you might think, but it's hard to look at all the data and conclude that it isn't a factor.
All right, Chris, that has got to be it for quarter number two. We're not done with this conversation. We'll pick it up when we return for quarter number three.
We've had such a great response to our F45 Training State College promotion over the last 2 weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. Starting Monday, May 6th, and running through May 21st, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training and a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Chris. I'm Jim. We are talking Penn State football. We're talking transfer portal. And even more specifically, after several players left the team, hit the transfer portal last week, the one painful one was probably King Mack. Not probably, it is. That is the one that hit home for us. It led to the conversation about the narrative of Florida players specifically. Is it worth the effort in recruiting down there? You had, a couple years ago, this great victory. You bring in King Mack. Well, did it matter when 2 years later, before he really makes a difference at Penn State, if he enters the portal? So, Chris, you did your homework, so we didn't have to. Let's talk about Florida. Has it been worth the recruiting effort going there? And has Penn State gotten burned by it and losing players they didn't want to lose?
Yeah, so that... Right. Like, that's the question. It's about, just like the NFL draft, about resource management and opportunity cost. You spend the time and effort to go far outside your geographic recruiting footprint to woo and recruit a guy like King Mack. You spend all that time that could have been spent elsewhere, and you get the guy on campus, but he never really stays long enough to make an impact. And so I think for the folks who are skeptical now, because of the number of guys we have brought in from Florida and who have left, they ask the question, why are we even bothering? Like, wouldn't it be smarter to conserve and reallocate those resources to try to bring in a player with a higher likelihood of staying for multiple years at Penn State? So I looked at it. And so since James Franklin has gotten here, he's inked 11 recruiting classes, including the class of 2024. And so that represents 254 recruits overall who've signed with Penn State while James Franklin has been the head coach. 17 of those have finished their high school football careers in Florida. Now, that's an important distinction, Jim, because there are a number of guys who have come to Penn State from the IMG Academy. If you follow recruiting at all, you've heard the name IMG a lot. It's just like a talent powerhouse and pulls top high school football talent from all over the country. So there are guys who are noteworthy players in the annals of Penn State football, like KJ Hamler is a guy you think about, Noah Kane, who you mentioned, Katron Allen on this year's team, who are from other parts of the country. Like KJ was a Michigan kid, but they played at least some of their, sometimes it's just their senior year, sometimes it's multiple years of their high school career at IMG. So when you're looking at, is it worth it to recruit a Florida player? Yeah, there are some differences, right? If you have somebody who grew up in Michigan and then just played high school at IMG, he's not going to be as shocked when he goes through a central Pennsylvania winter as a kid who grew up in Orlando or Fort Lauderdale, right? So there is that. But for the purposes of this exercise, we're going to count the IMG kids as Florida recruits because that's how the recruiting world views them. When you look at those maps that show where does all of the high school football talent in America come from, every Division I IMG recruit, and there are a ton of them, gets credited to Florida, not where they were born or where they grew up. So the 17 kids, we've had of those, a total of 8 leave. So, you know, you look at that, and I mean, what's your initial reaction when I say that?
I don't think it's a big surprise either way. I don't think I'm going, oh no, that many left, or and I'm not going the other way saying, oh, is it that few? That I think it kind of hit what I would expect.
Okay, yeah. So it's a little over half. It's like 53% about. And interestingly enough, if you look at James's first 8 recruiting classes, so that takes you 2014 up through 2021. The average attrition rate across those 8 classes is 50% exactly. And again, that might be shocking to people, but the super easy mobility that has come with the transfer portal era, like that's not that unusual.
I think that number does surprise me a bit.
Does it?
That big
it didn't shock me. Yeah, it didn't really shock me. And again, just to be clear, when I talk about guys leaving the program, I'm not counting if you left early for the NFL draft. I'm not counting players who had a medical issue and then stayed at Penn State. So there's a Florida recruit, a defensive back named Jordan Miner, who got up to Penn State and went through his initial physical, and they discovered a heart condition that meant he could never play football again. But he stayed at Penn State, and he got his degree here, and so he does not count against players who left the program. I'm talking exclusively about players who transferred out or who dropped out of school or left Penn State. So it is interesting when you look at the lowest attrition rate of any single class, it's the class of 2014. And that is the last group whose players really did not touch the transfer portal era at all. So I'm probably going to work on a bigger, deeper dive piece to publish over the summer for the bloggy, where I'm really going to dig into this. And one of the things you want to do is benchmark against what other programs look at. But yeah, for good or ill at Penn State, the number's 50%. So Florida's right about at the average. And it didn't really shock me when I saw it. But I understand why it might be distressing to people. But again, like I hate to keep hammering the same point, but I look at those 50%, and if I dug into that list, I guarantee you, Jim, the average Penn State fan would barely recognize any of the names, right? It's not like we are losing impact talent. But to go back to the Florida recruits, just to kind of push back maybe a little bit against the narrative that it's not worth us bringing guys here from Florida, let me just quickly rattle off the names of the Florida players who stayed at Penn State. So starting right off from that class of 2014, well, probably one of the biggest names, in my opinion, is Amani Oruwariye. And he was a Tampa native. This is a Florida kid. And that guy made a big difference for Penn State In fact, we are probably talking about the App State game as one of the all-time disasters in the history of Penn State football. If it isn't for Monty ending that game, and he went on to play in the NFL. I already mentioned KJ Hamler and IMG Kid, and then I talked about Jordan Miner, who was not able to play his football career. And then you have a long line after those guys. So Monty was a 2014 recruit. Hamler, 2017. Jordan was in the class of 2018. Then the only other Florida kid in the mix there is a quarterback. You might even remember this guy. I'd be shocked if most Penn State fans do. Michael O'Connor, another IMG guy. He's actually a Canadian. And he was really a Bill O'Brien recruit and somebody who just got passed up on the depth chart and just was not going to play at Penn State. So yeah, you're going to see quarterbacks move. So here is a long list. And this is what has created the Florida attrition narrative, Jim. You have a total of six guys who all came in classes between 2018 and 2020, and they all left. Defensive tackle Judge Culpepper, wide receiver John Dunmore, running back Noah Kane, receiver TJ Jones, and then a pair of other running backs, Keziah Holmes and Kevon Lee. So, again, I'll put it to you. I give you that list. Your initial reaction to it is what?
That I don't miss any of them. However, I would think at the time when they were recruited, those were some names that we were excited about. I'm looking at the list because you had it from the article. You know, like the running backs, Noah Kane and Keziah Holmes, Kevon Lee. We had high hopes for those guys. I think we had pretty high hopes for Judge Culpepper. John Dunmore, I think we had high hopes for him also.
Dunmore was the one kid who I thought was going to be a player, and it just, you know, it hasn't worked out for him.
You know, I'll ask you the question a little differently. Who among them moved on and had a nice college career, had a career that made you say, boy, I wish they had stayed at Penn State?
Well, of course, those who are most familiar with my work know my soft spot for the Toledo Rockets. So congratulations to Judge for being able to go to a place where he got on the field and won a MAC championship. And I was talking about it before, got on the field for probably what is going to be the last football that he plays. But beyond that, like really, again, like not too much of an impact made by any of those guys. And when I look at them, you know, three running backs, Jim, Noah Kane, never the same after he struggled with injuries, and Keziah Holmes and Kevon Lee, like really nice players. I love Kevon Lee. I mean, he reminded me a lot of like a poor man's Tony Hunt. And for me, that is very, very high praise. But we talked about it with London Montgomery. Penn State just recruits the lights out at the running back position. And all three of those guys were impacted by the better players. And let's just say it, the better players Penn State brought to campus who surpassed them on the depth chart. So that's right there. You throw O'Connor out of the mix. You take those six guys. That's 50% of the Florida kids who left. Just like running backs who were very good and got in the mix in a room with young guys who came in who were great. And so, again, we'll talk about devils in the details. When you look at that and the sample size is so small, you say, well, man, you know, okay, Judge Culpepper, he was in the mix with a lot of interior linemen who were going to get more snaps than him. All of those running backs in the mix with other backs who were going to get more snaps than them. And the two receivers, like I said, sometimes all the time in college football, you take a shot on a guy and it just doesn't work out. I mean, TJ Jones and John Dunmore have not distinguished themselves elsewhere since they left Penn State. So as you start to look at it, you see, man, mitigating circumstances. And you know, I know, again, we're coming up on the break here. So I will, on the other side, talk about the other Florida players and how ultimately it's going to be. They're all on the roster right now. What they do, that determines how we think about pulling talent out of the Sunshine State.
All right, Chris, as you said, that is it for quarter number three. But we're not done with this conversation. And I'm going to ask you about it in quarter four. I'm not sure geography is the variable. So what is the variable between players leaving and staying? We'll talk about that when we come back.
We've had such a great response to our F-45 Training State College promotion over the last 2 weeks, they've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. Starting Monday, May 6th, and running through May 21st, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F-45 Training State College for 2 weeks free. F-45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training and a group class environment. F-45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Chris. I'm Jim. We are talking about this rash of players. A week ago, we had how many of them left, Chris? 5, 6, 7? How many left?
Yeah. There was that little trickle, and then the big bunch of them right at the end. I want to say the total number was around 7 or 8. Should also add too, a bunch of them got their degrees on the way out the door,
and good for them with that on that matter. But we were getting into this whole accepted narrative. We go into Florida, you know, Penn State has emphasized going into Florida and losing King Mack last week. The narrative was, gee, why do we bother going into Florida and spend our resources there if the players are just going to leave? Well, it turns out, Chris, you did the deeper dive into it and found out that it's not necessarily they left because they're Florida players. There are players, they're leaving for other reasons, which is mostly they're not getting on the field, and those are the players who leave, right?
Right. And so, like I said, when you're talking about 17 out of 254 guys James has recruited out of high school to Penn State since he's been here, you're going to have noise, right? Like the small sample size means that case by case, as you look at it, you can start seeing, like, well, why did Noah Cain leave? Well, why did Kevon Lee or Keziah Holmes leave? So since 2022, we've recruited 7 players out of the state of Florida. So we've really put the work in to establish a presence down there and try to capitalize on the wealth of talent that state produces. And it's starting to pay dividends. You're seeing more and more Florida kids supplementing each Penn State recruiting class. And so to give you the names here, Jim, Cam Miller, again, we talked about Katron Allen. He's the last of the IMG players in this group. So the rest of these guys, they played all or most of their career and lived most of their lives in Florida. So defensive backs, Cam Miller and Elliot Washington, both guys I like. I like Washington a lot. Zane Durant, who is a defensive tackle who's been generating a lot of buzz. People are really excited about what he could be. I think it's going to be, I think, really interesting to watch Durant this year and how much he plays and how Tom Allen finds ways to use him, because his ceiling, Jim, I think, is incredibly high. His ceiling for 2024 is game changer. Now, I'm not saying he's going to get there, right? I actually, if you ask me, do you think he's going to hit that mark? I would say no, but he has that potential. And if he can do it, if he can make that big leap, it's going to make a big, big difference, like truly a game-changing difference for Penn State's defense. So these are not scrubs. These are not guys who are buried on the depth chart. We need all three of those guys to be players in 2024. There's the departed King Mack, and then 2 defensive backs from the class of 24, and Antoine Belgrave Shorter and John Mitchell. Those guys are not going to play this year. Their day is coming in the future. But I mentioned all of those players, the young true freshman defensive backs, and then the Florida kids who we are going to need to grow up this year. Cam Miller, Elliot Washington. We need them to replenish that defensive backfield. Zane Durant, we are hoping for that guy to hit that ceiling I talked about. And then, of course, everybody knows and loves Katron Allen. If those guys play and they make an impact and they stick at Penn State, to me, that basically reverses any narrative that we ought not be pulling talent out of Florida, because the Sunshine State players we brought in are not guys who are missed by the fan base. And it's going to be determinative now what those defensive backs and Durant do in their Penn State careers. If they all hit, or even if they contribute and they stay, I think that puts to bed any concerns that we're wasting our time in Florida. You buying it?
I am, Chris. And I love looking at your chart, and you have it sorted by year they came in. And from 2018 through 2020, the attrition rate is almost all of them. And the only one who didn't leave was Jordan Minor, who medically retired. But yeah, I think it's striking. The 2022 class, where I think you can make a judgment on, I don't want to call it a final judgment, but they've been here long enough. All three of them, Cam Miller, Katron Allen, and Zane Durant, are contributors.
Mm-hmm.
The hit, I would call it definitely, you were 3 for 3 in yep. Florida that year. 2023, Elliot Washington and King Mack, I will call them hits talent-wise.
Sure.
It's the unfortunate thing that King Mack left. Belgrave, Shorter, Mitchell, class of 24, jury is still out.
Yeah, completely TBD. But I'm bullish on Washington. I think Elliot Washington has a chance to be a player as well.
So what you have there, I think no doubt you can say, hey, it was worth going into Florida. But now, you know, I'll take it to the bigger picture, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
How is it, you know, Florida, and also look at the other areas outside our typical regional recruiting footprint. How does Florida compare to the others? And then how does that entire outer region compare to the recruits in the state of Pennsylvania as far as attrition rate?
Yeah, sure. So I looked at that, and I will tell you that Penn State, although I know there's always some frustration when we don't go 10 for 10 in the top 10 recruits in Pennsylvania, we are pulling a lot of talent out of our home state. If we're not dominating the state, we're coming close. It's by far the largest source of talent for Penn State. We've pulled the most recruits from right here at home out of Pennsylvania over all the different quote-unquote regions or states. But what I did is I broke the recruiting footprint or recruiting areas down into different regional categories. We looked at Florida specifically, of course. Then I also looked at the South, not including Florida. So that's anywhere in the SEC footprint. The Midwest, the DMV, so that's D.C., Maryland, Virginia, another great source, a critical source of talent and top-end talent for Penn State. New England, where Penn State has done a lot of recruiting over the last several years. And then New York, New Jersey, and Delaware. So here are your attrition rates, Jim. We remember it was 53% out of the state of Florida, again, with the qualifier that you're talking about, an overall small number, 17 recruits. So from the South in general, outside Florida, interestingly, we've also pulled 17 recruits and only 6 of them have left. So that's about 35% of the SEC footprint recruits from other non-Florida southern states. The DMV, 38%. The Midwest, 48%. New England, 57%. New Jersey, New York, Delaware, 32%. And then Pennsylvania is the lowest at 28%. So we talked about it at the top of the show, or the top of the segment here, at least. Does it matter that you're closer to home? Or is that a factor that's going to be one of many that makes you more likely to stick at Penn State? When I look at those numbers and I say, okay, Florida, they're at 50%. They're at around 50% if they're coming from the Midwest, or around 50% if they're coming from New England. And then you know, New York, New Jersey, Delaware, and the DMV, you're down hovering in the 30s, and then you're sub 30, well below the overall average from Pennsylvania. I think it's hard to argue that proximity is not a factor. But again, like I said, as you look at those recruits on an individual basis, you can see there are a lot of other factors in play as well.
So I think if we're going to draw any conclusions, I think there is some correlation with distance, okay? The numbers are stark that, you know, in Pennsylvania, because you have easily the largest number of recruits there at 71 in this time period and only a 28% attrition rate. And I'd like to see, you know, that deeper dive with the quality of players. Is there a situation where a player from Pennsylvania who may not be seeing the field, but you know what? It's always been my dream to play at Penn State, and he sticks around for it. Whereas I see it's interesting, New England of all places, and it's such a small sample size with just 14 of them. New England is not known necessarily for its high school football, and it may even be a little tougher to judge those players because how many of them are playing the level of competition where you could feel confident with your scouting report on them, Chris?
Always a concern, right? But, you know, on the other hand, I don't hear anybody complaining about Pat Freiermuth or, you know, I think, is it Luke Reynolds? Luke Reynolds is another guy, the young tight end who's one of the top players at his position in the country who comes in from Massachusetts. So it's like everything else. You get on campus and you can play and you get snaps, you're going to stick around. You know, like if you're Will Levis and you're at that log jam position and you're not going to play ahead of Sean Clifford, you go elsewhere. So it's a factor. It's not the determining factor. I think it is well worth Penn State's time to continue to be looking outside the Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, Delaware, DMV region. You know, throw Ohio in there as well, the states that border Pennsylvania, more or less. I think it's well worth the effort that the staff is putting to try to nationalize the recruiting efforts. I think you got to continue to strike the balance. You can't ignore a kid like Journey Brown in your backyard, but at the same time, if you can bring an Amani Oruwariye or a Zane Durant or a Cam Miller to campus, then you got to put that effort in.
Okay.
Parker Washington, Amari Evans, Texas guys.
Find talent wherever you can. But my takeaway from all of this, Chris, my conclusion to this is go to New England to get your tight ends though, right?
Yeah, 100%. No question.
All right, Chris, a real interesting topic. And I'm sure one that we're going to hit on again sometime during the summer. Like I said, I think in the end, it's still most of the Penn State players who leave are ones who probably aren't going to see the field. That's why some of those names, when they leave, it's like, that's probably for the best for everybody. But that is it for our show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
We've had such a great response to our F45 Training State College promotion over the last 2 weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. Starting Monday, May 6th, and running through May 21st, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training and a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.